from the formation of your bones in your mother's womb to the length of your time here on earth, God planned it all and was personally involved in the outworking of every single detail. God planned your life before you were born. His guiding hand is at work from the cradle to the grave and at all points in between.
Thanks for joining us on the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm Bill Wright, and we're continuing a series called God Over All, looking at the doctrine of divine providence. Well, Don, last time you reminded us that God is sovereign over absolutely everything. But studying and accepting providence doesn't mean we'll always fully understand it.
That's such an important point, Bill. Scripture says that the ways of God are unsearchable. They're too high for us to grasp, especially when we're going through perplexing times. You know, my friend, providence doesn't mean that we'll always know why things happen, but it does give us a framework not to panic or to get discouraged when difficult things come our way. God is wise enough to order the universe, and He's loving enough not to abandon you in the process. Listen closely as we bring you the Truth Pulpit today.
And have your Bible handy as well as we join Don now.
Point number two, God's providence is detailed. The Bible applies the doctrine of providence to so many specific details of creation that it helps us better understand how broad providence is. And the first thing that we're going to look at is God's providence over nature. There's four subpoints to point number two. God's providence is detailed. Then I'm going to have four little subpoints under that. God's providence is over nature. And I'm just going to take you to one passage in that, and that's Psalm 147. So turn to Psalm 147 with me, if you would. We'll read several verses in this great passage. Of course, every passage in the Bible is great because all of Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. But Psalm 147, beginning in verse 7, is where I want to take your attention as we look at the providence of God over nature. Psalm 147, verse 7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre, who covers the heavens with clouds, who provides rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens which cry. For the sake of time, drop down to verse 15. He, still talking about the Lord, He sends forth His command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts forth His ice as fragments. Who can stand before His cold? He sends forth His word and melts them. He causes His wind to blow and the waters to flow. Beloved, how specific is that? How detailed is that? God causes the clouds in the sky, according to the Scripture. He causes the rain to come upon the earth. He causes the grass to grow. He gives snow. He gives frost. He makes the wind blow. You see, the Bible says that nature runs its course, not from the inherent power of biological or climatological processes, but from God who directs these things and causes them to happen. God is actively involved in everything that we see going on in nature. If there is such a thing as global warming, I'm not too worked up about it because my God is in control of it and is directing it to accomplish His purposes. This takes a whole lot of stuff off the table for you to be concerned about. He is actively involved in everything that happens, and that includes nature. But we must move on. God's providence is detailed not only in nature, but also, secondly, over the animal kingdom. Over the animal kingdom. And to turn your attention there, I need you to turn back just a few pages to Psalm 104. Psalm 104, verse remembering that we're plowing ground that we need to live a more fruitful, profitable Christian life in all that we look at here today. Psalm 104. God's providence is detailed in his reign over the animal kingdom. Psalm 104, we're going to look at verse 24 here together, where the psalmist says, O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. There is the sea, great and broad, in which are swarms without number, animals both great and small. There the ships move along, and Leviathan, which you have formed to sport in it. Verse 27, they all wait for you. The swarms in the sea, that is, the great and broad swarms in the sea without number, they wait for you to give them their food in due season. You give to them, they gather it up. You open your hand, they are satisfied with good. You hide your face, they are dismayed. You take away their spirit, they expire and return to their dust. Animals live and eat and die because of the active providence of God. In Matthew 6, you'll remember, Jesus said that God feeds the birds of the air. In Matthew 10, he says, there's not a sparrow that dies apart from the hand of your heavenly Father. God reigns over the animals, things that we generally don't pay too much attention to. But God reigns. His providence is over even the animal kingdom. And so we see him in all of nature, in the animal kingdom, reigning in detail. Every animal that eats, eats from the hand of God, as it were. I want to show you a third thing about the detailed nature of God's providence, and it's this. God's providence extends over, subpoint number three here, seemingly chance events. Seemingly chance events. The classic text on this is Proverbs 16:33. Proverbs 16:33, which says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Proverbs 16:33. The modern day equivalent of casting lots, they tell us, would be the rolling of dice or the flipping of a coin. Things that we just say, there's a 1 in 2 chance that this is going to come up heads. Or as you're throwing the dice, whatever the odds are on it coming up 7 or 11 or whatever that would be. What the Bible teaches is that God is so involved in every aspect of what happens in his creation that he is involved and determines what comes up. The decision that comes is from the Lord. He controls details that you and I would consider insignificant. Listen, people lose billions of dollars in gambling each year because God is directing the outcomes of games that they call chance. As I was thinking about this, I thought, that puts a little bit different perspective on it, because you say, well, what does God care how 2 dice come up? If you excluded God from that process, you would exclude him from a major segment of our economy. You don't believe that, do you? Of course not. So even in those seemingly chance events, God is involved. Commentator Matthew Henry said this on this passage. He said, the divine providence orders and directs those things which to us are perfectly casual and fortuitous. Continuing the quote, he says, nothing comes to pass by chance, nor is an event determined by a blind fortune, but everything by the will and counsel of God. What man has neither eye nor hand in, God is intimately concerned in. He created everything, created the heavens and the earth, and everything that works out of that is his dominion, it is his rule, and he's involved in every detail of how it comes out. He didn't create it to leave it to some undefined force of chance or fate or luck. God reigns over all. Now, seemingly chance events, we can go from the micro view, the small things of the outcome of the flip of a coin, to this next view, the macro view, in terms of what happens on earth here. This is the last subpoint under the detailed nature of God's providence, and it's this. It's that God rules over the nations. God rules over the nation. His providence rules over the nations. Let me, for the sake of time, let me just read you a couple of verses. Proverbs 21, verse 1. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Even pagan, unbelieving kings that rule over nations that have no love for God or his Christ, the Bible declares that they are under the hand of God and God turns their heart wherever he wishes. It is not an issue. It's as easy to, for God to turn the heart of a king as it is to determine the flip of a coin. That is stunning, omnipotent power, beloved. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, you see this a lot in Daniel. I'm just going to focus on this one passage. Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. And if you read through what the Bible says about the rise of the nations of Assyria and Babylon and Greece and Rome, you'll see that it always is attributing that to the power of God, and that God is raising these rulers up for a period of time. Even as they subjugate and treat his people harshly, the Bible says that God has raised them up to accomplish that purpose. World rulers, from the beginning of time until the end of time, have power only because God gives it to them. They rise and fall at his command and at his absolute unfettered discretion and pleasure. But understanding and appropriating the doctrine of divine providence lets you live life from a position of peace and confidence and strength, because you are able to look beyond the visible manifestation of circumstances and understand and trust and appreciate that the hand of your Heavenly Father is at work in everything that happens. This gets really practical at a micro level and at a macro level. We trust God for everything that comes into our lives. Absolutely everything. You can think of God's providence as a continuum. I found this helpful. On the one side of the continuum, you have the absolute smallest detail that you couldn't care anything less about, the flip of a coin. On the other hand, you have the greatest events in all of the world, the rise and fall of world leaders that you have no control over, and you look at that continuum and you see the Bible declaring God's providence and his active rule over all of it. God rules on the small things on that continuum. He rules on the biggest things on that continuum. And he reigns at every point in between. God reigns. He actively directs everything that happens to accomplish his purposes. Now, point number three. God's providence is broad. God's providence is detailed. Point number three. I want to answer this question. Where do you fit into that? Where do you fit into that? The point number three is this. God's providence is personal. God's providence is personal. And for that, there's so many places that we could go to, but I want to turn your attention to Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is where I want to direct your attention for this. God's providence is personal. This has to be the sweetest aspect of the doctrine of providence, because it shows that it's not abstract. It's not just out there. It involves the deepest details of your life. The deepest details of your life in the hands of a wise and loving and gracious Heavenly Father. Psalm 139, David, you know this passage well, beginning in verse 13. Look at God's involvement from conception. Verse 13, David says, "You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." He ascribes to God the very formation of his bones in his mother's womb. Every aspect of who he would become, starting there in the womb, he says, "God, you were intimately involved in every single detail of it. You formed me, you wove me in my mother's womb." Verse 15, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them." It's not just that God was involved forming him in his mother's womb. It's that God had ordained his days before time began. Before he even lived, David says, "You had established the days that I would be here on earth." So, from the formation of your bones in your mother's womb to the length of your time here on earth, God planned it all and was personally involved in the outworking of every single detail. God planned your life before you were born. His guiding hand is at work from the cradle to the grave and at all points in between. There is nothing in your life, beloved, that has happened by chance. There have been no accidents. There has been nothing that has escaped the attention of your Heavenly Father. There has been nothing that he has not been actively involved in. But let me remind you of a well-known verse in Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, where Jesus said, "The very hairs of your head are all numbered." Now, for some of you, God doesn't have to count as long as he does for the rest of us. But that is a testament to how personal his providence is. If it goes down to the hairs on your head, beloved, how much more the things that really matter to you? How much more the things that affect the concerns of your soul? Listen, the course of events, the turns of nature, the rise and fall of nations, the circumstances of your individual life are not, have not, will not ever be determined by random chance, blind fate, astrology, or even the devil himself. God is actively ruling through everything that happens, both good and seemingly bad. And beloved, that changes the way you view the world. That changes the way you understand your life. The doctrine of divine providence has been so helpful to say, it doesn't matter that my plans haven't worked out. Because as you understand the doctrine of divine providence, you can look at your life and say, God is working out his plan even if it differed from mine. And in that, there is enormous comfort and rest and peace. God rules through everything that happens. Whatever has happened to you, whatever will happen to you, God's in charge. God reigns. His providence is actively working in everything. First of all, this obviously makes you examine yourself. If you're here today and you're not a believer in Christ and you're not a Christian, listen, you are separated from the God who reigns over all. The Bible says that you're actually under his judgment because you sin against him and you are a sinner. If you understand anything about the doctrine of divine providence as the Bible has articulated it for you here today, you need to understand the most urgent thing you could do is be reconciled to God. Bible says there's salvation in no one else. There is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Talking about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to repent and put your faith in Christ and turn this God who reigns over all from an enemy into your friend. You need to be reconciled to him. Secondly, let me ask this. Do you enjoy a good and comfortable life? The lines have fallen to you in pleasant places, as the Bible says. The doctrine of providence teaches you that those good things have come from God. Not through the results of your own efforts, although, you know, your efforts have played a part, but God has blessed your labor. and the comfort and the good things you enjoy are ultimately a gift from His hands. If that's you, you should give thanks to Him and not think that you accomplish these things by your own power. Doctrine of providence for somebody that's in a good situation in life, it drives you to an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thanks. God, I realize that everything, that you're involved in everything, and look how it's come out from me. I have got it so good. God, thank you. I know I don't deserve this, but my heart is just overflowing with appreciation to your kindness and goodness to me. Last point. Everything I've set up today has been driving to this very point in some ways. Has life brought you hardship and sadness in whatever realm that has come to you? Are you feeling the weight of discouragement under the load? It's you that I most want to address because I have been in your shoes. The hardship, if you really think about divine providence rightly, you realize that this hardship is something that God could have prevented at a bare minimum, and you recognize the hardship is actually something that He has brought about in your life. That's a pretty hard thing to come to grips with when you're really under the load. And it may make you question whether God really is in control or whether He's really loving. Either way, maybe there's only two or three in the room like this. That's okay. I'm just talking to the two of them. The rest of you can listen in. Either way, you wonder, you find yourself wondering in the silence of your own room, even if you wouldn't articulate it in a setting like this. You find yourself wondering, what is the use of trusting Him if this is the way life is going to work out? You listen to me carefully. I'm going to tell you what I wish I had been told years ago when I was in those shoes. Your sorrow, beloved, is all the more reason for you to lay hold of God and His providence. Yes, God brought that pain into your life. But, beloved, God's providence, the reality of God's providence, is your only hope that there is meaning and purpose in those trials. If this was just an accident or a bad turn of fortune, it is purposeless. It is meaningless. And so in the midst of that kind of deep, profound soul sorrow, beloved, you all the more have to lay hold of God's providence as your only hope. Because God's providence is your hope that there is meaning and purpose in those trials. God's providence is your hope that He can bring good out of them and bless you despite the depths of what you feel right now. So, beloved, suffering Christian, don't resent Him. Don't turn away in frustration. Seek Him all the more. Submit to Him in trust. Give Him time to prove the greatness of His providence so that you can say experientially with the Apostle Paul, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. God is actively at work, and if you belong to Him by faith in Christ, that is the outcome of your deepest sorrows. Lay hold of that and embrace this God of providence rather than resenting the fact that it hasn't gone the way you wanted. That is the crucial turning point, because the doctrine of providence undergirds that great promise from Romans 8:28. And beloved, suffering Christian, God is faithful. On the authority of His word, I say to you, don't give up. Persevere. You will see the fulfillment of His promise, because God is actively involved in everything that happens, directing it to accomplish His purposes, which are only good for those who love Christ.
That's Don Green with part two of a message called God Over All here on the Truth Pulpit. So if God is sovereign over every aspect of the universe, does that mean He's even sovereign over sin? Well, as you've heard said, all means all, and that's all means. Don will tackle that question further next time. But right now, he's right here in studio with us. And Don, how about a quick summary of how we might apply today's lesson to our lives?
My friend, I would encourage you to realize that wherever you're at in life, you have the life that God has given to you. If you're sad, it brings you hope to know that there's meaning that you don't quite see right now. If life is good, you should thank God for being kind to you. And friend, if you don't know Christ, wake up today and seek Him. You can't understand life at all until you know the God who is over all. You can know the true God through faith in Jesus Christ.
And friend, if you'd like a free CD of today's message, visit us at thetruthpulpit.com. That's thetruthpulpit.com. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit with Don Green.